Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Jeffersonians. It is a beautiful day out there.
It is.
And it's Memorial Weekend.
It is. It's a gorgeous Memorial Day weekend. I've definitely been enjoying it.
Managed.
Technical difficulties this morning.
Actually managed to hide for a couple of days and get some rest in, which is always good to refuel and recharge the batteries. So, much appreciated. But very important to remember what the weekend is for and what it's about. Everybody here in the local area for Redding Shasta County, tomorrow at 5:55 at the Ogo Cemetery, or Ono Cemetery, they're going to be having a service and memorial out there at the Veterans Museum, and I urge everybody to go to that, take your kids, explain to them what the weekend's about. I think it's really, really important that they understand what's been sacrificed for them and why, and what's so important. You know, a couple weeks ago we hit pretty hard on it's time to remember what it is to be an American and why, and I think that's one of the
Well, you can only say that you're an American today because of the people who are out in that soil.
Absolutely.
And the people who came back. And that's the sad part is when you go to these services, usually it's the older generations. You don't see many young people out there. So this is a great way to teach your kids about patriotism, about sacrifice, about loyalty, about honor, about what it means to really be an American. Because it's not just, you know, going to the ball game. It's not just, you know, 4th of July fireworks. There's a I guess you could call it a darker side to what it really means to be an American, and that darker side is sacrifice and
is
sorrow and the cost, you know, that's associated with it. And like Robert said, you can go out to Igo Ono up in Weaverville, at the Weaverville Cemetery. There's a service at 10 a.m. tomorrow. In Redding here at the Lawncrest Memorial Park, 10 to 10:50, the VFW post in Hayfork is having one. The Redding VFW post is having one. They're all over the place. Red Bluff, Anderson, Mountain View, and I'm just on Redding.com. I sent you guys there, but they have everything on there if you just Google Memorial Day services Redding, California.
Yeah,
there's a ton on there. So just go to your nearest one and pay tribute to those people who gave everything.
And take your kids.
And take your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews and the little stinkers down the street.
And explain to them, you know, there's two people on the face of the planet that died for you, Jesus Christ and an American soldier.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we wanted to bring that up and remind everybody, go do your duty. It's part of your civic duty that you honor things like this and you remember what it's for.
Yep.
So, moving on to a little bit happier news, we do have a victory up in Oregon with the Galise Miners that we're happy to report about.
Yep.
A judge, actually a BLM judge, issued a stay of enforcement against the BLM, basically said the action that they were conducting was wrongful, and guess what? They actually do have to wait to go to court like they were supposed to before they can do anything. So. Well, the whole situation.
I'm shocked that that's what happened.
Actually, a little bit because I think BLM is a little shocked because they've been carrying out these actions up there and everybody has just kind of rolled over and you know.
Well, not since Bundy.
No.
Since Bundy, people have kind of been going, wait, you can't do that.
Yes. And
that's not right.
It is. It's a good sign that people are starting to wake up and show that when you shine the light of day on these things, they end up running like cockroaches. I mean, their whole statement over what was going on up there has been so ridiculous and disjointed.
Yeah.
And they've backtracked and backpedaled on themselves. They have actually now been caught with proof that they were destroying documents regarding the mine and the historical documentation of that mine. They have emails where they were ordering people at the local BLM to destroy documentation. All of that's been turned over to the FBI now.
And because it's government, something should happen,
something
right?
Something should happen.
Should happen.
Should happen.
Whether it does or not.
Whether it does or not is to be seen. Since that time, there's also been a court case involving the Bundys where BLM was doing the same thing and was destroying documentation. And
interesting.
You remember the argument Bundy was making, I have water rights in perpetuity.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you don't. There's no record of that. Well, yeah, that's because BLM destroyed those records.
Well, he should have a copy of them, shouldn't he?
Supposedly, yeah. And they basically said, well, we don't have a copy of it. You know,
therefore, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Well, guess what? They were destroying those records, which is a big one for us up here in Jefferson, because one of our biggest arguments that we have is, well, what do you do about all the federal land? The federal government controls the land. No, they don't. The name of the organization is the Bureau of Land Management, not Bureau of Land Ownership or anything like that. Yeah. So it is fundamental to understand that what is deemed federal lands up here are only managed by the federal government under contract with the state.
Let's say, there's no such thing as federal land. We need to kind of get that historically.
Yeah.
There is not really any such – I mean, you have the Monuments Act and a few things like that, and you've got the public parks and whatnot. But when you look at it, mm-hmm. why does the federal government – the federal government, of course, is only the oversight of the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do they own land? They should be the smallest government entity in the United States of America. Why do they own land?
They don't.
They don't.
You know,
they say that they do, and we don't know our rights. We don't know our constitution. We don't know our own laws. So they get away with it.
Yeah.
Hello, guys. Wake up. Here's your sign.
That is absolutely a lot of it is if you don't know your rights and you don't enforce them.
Yeah.
And technically, legally, even land that is quote unquote owned by the federal government, federal reserves, military bases, things like that, are still owned by the people of the United States. They're held in receivership and managed for the people by the federal government.
Yeah.
And it just... we need to reestablish the definition of employee and employer in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the...
And that's where Jefferson's a spear.
It is.
It's the spearhead. Because we're not, as Robert pointed out last week very astutely, we're not, you know, I am totally blanking. Oh my gosh. It's in the back of my head. What did you say last week? You said that we're not trying to change the system. We're changing it back. We're the patriots. We're the loyalists.
We're the loyalists.
The loyalists. There we go.
In this situation is we want to remain loyal to the Constitution and the ideals of the founding fathers and the things that made this country great.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want change. I to be perfectly honest. And
I'll take the hope. You can keep the change.
Well, I think we've experienced change in this country for the last 8 years. And an honest question, everybody, how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
How is
Are you better off now than you were 8 years ago?
Yeah. How is fundamentally transforming America working?
But I would take that back further. Are you better off now than you were 55 years ago?
No.
With Reynolds v. Sims?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, did you hear about what's going on in Texas?
No.
Yeah, Texas is taking a case to the Supreme Court about Reynolds v. Sims.
Did you read
about that?
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, about whether it should be reapportioned like that, or whether it should be voting population, or whether it should be just back to how it was.
Well, there's a case that already sets precedent for that, and that's Tenet versus Jefferson County, West Virginia, of all places. And they basically, in that case, they wanted to reapportion it due to economic concerns. They said, well, hey, this half of the county is economically connected to us. To put them in another district that basically doesn't have any ties to the economic ties that we have completely negates their vote and our economic principles here.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia said, oh, well, no, we have to go with one man, one vote. And they took that to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, absolutely, you can redistrict due to economic ideals. You can have disproportionate districts that are not balanced in population as long as it's not done prejudicially to remove the vote of a minority group.
Yeah.
Which is a huge decision for us.
Yeah.
You know, basically, for California now, when it when and if it comes to a court case for us, and they go, oh, well, we had to do it under one man, one vote. No, you don't. You can redistrict for economic considerations.
Yeah. Although the interesting thing is here in California, the minority now is the white population. So are they doing it prejudicially at this point? Because of our economic status, because of our traditional family value status, because of our rural status, because of our agrarian status? Is it prejudicially done in California where the EPA rules as God?
Well, now you're expecting equality. That's just ridiculous.
And I think I used logic there, too.
You did.
So I'm going to go, what's that phrase? I'm going to go whip myself in a corner or whatever it is that you always say.
I'm going to put myself in the closet and hit myself with the belt.
Yes. Because yeah. We're going to roll off to a break. We will be right back after these messages. You can call in at 605-4567 or hang out in our chat room at kcnr1460.com.
Using junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair. California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to standandfightclubinc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I have seen a big increase in the ethanol-free 93, so everyone's starting to do yard work. So come on in and fill up your jugs. We got another load of barbecue bottles in, so come in and grab an extra one. We just got a fresh load of race car fuel and methanol for all the off-highway tractor guys, red diesel, hydraulic oil, grease in barrels and tubes. We do sell bulk oil. If you need a quart or 55 gallons, we got you covered. If you need an extra storage tank, give us a call. We have a few used ones and comm vaults. Northern Lights Energy, where you can still talk to real people and not answering machines. Farm, ranch, logging, and construction, we cover them all. Corning, Weaverville, Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. It's Monday, and it's Memorial Day. Let's remember with reverence those who gave their lives to defend our country. Join Vince Stevenson and his guest to find out what's going on right here in River City, including Shannon Smith, who talks about why her group wants to shut down the police range. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio. Hey, today, thank a veteran.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Such humiliation will bring annihilation at last.
Oh no, you did.
It will be delicious when I get vicious tomorrow.
Oh no, you did.
There's no second chances. You will do the dance of sorrow.
Oh no, you did.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, just, no, you didn't.
I just smile every time I hear that and think about different things and going, oh, no, you didn't. Oh,
I was listening to the radio a couple days ago, and it came on, and I just started geeking in the car. This total, yeah. Sitting at a stoplight, people are all watching me. I'm just like, it's so funny.
Yeah. Speaking of, oh, no, you didn't, for those of you that don't know, 277, the mandatory vaccine bill, has gone through the Senate and is now over to the California Assembly.
So this is the point in time where you call all of your assembly members and you tell them in no less terms that...
No.
Oh, no, you will not. Yeah. Shall not. Say shall not. They'll actually understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Shall not do that.
And, like, revert to the King's English and get kind of biblical with it. It really throws them off.
But don't threaten them because they have your phone number.
Yeah. Well, you can threaten their job.
You can threaten their job, and but don't threaten their personage.
I actively encourage you to threaten their job.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is no good justification for this law.
No.
Not one thing that they can say that this law is okay.
And that's the thing to remember is we're not saying don't vaccinate your kids. We're not saying you must vaccinate your kids. We're saying you have the right of choice. You are a parent or a grandparent or a guardian, whatever your situation is. What you need to be frightened about, and that's the right term to use, frightened. Mm-hmm. What you need to be frightened about is go read the bill, because in that bill it states that any vaccination, the Attorney General and
the Health and Human Services,
decides is important, they will mandate in the future.
Yeah, and
this can be any vaccine that's not tested. Mm-hmm. This could be a vaccine that might ultimately kill your kid.
Doesn't exist now.
Doesn't exist today, but might exist tomorrow.
Later date.
I mean. We're talking about a government that on the congressional floor back east has had senators and assemblymen straight out say, why don't we put sterilization medication in the water to limit population growth? Mm-hmm. Well, if they can decide, hey, everybody has to be vaccinated, let's give one-third the population this vaccine, which will sterilize them permanently.
Yeah.
What's to stop them from doing that if you give them the right to tell you exactly what goes into your little buddy's body? That's not okay.
And for those of you going, oh, you're being ridiculous. The government would never do that. Do you remember our shows about CARB, where they conducted human testing on children as young as the age of 10?
Yep.
You're really going to tell me that the California government wouldn't violate the Nuremberg Code? Because they've done it already.
Multiple times.
And now you want to give them the authority to tell you what you have to put into your child.
And this is tied to their education. You don't do this, they don't get to go to school.
No. And then you go to jail because your kid's truant. Yeah. It's
they have you. You have to tell them, no, you shall not.
Absolutely. And don't buy into the argument, oh, this is a health and public safety issue. Oh, we can't have all of these unvaccinated people running around. Well, the only people that will be at risk are the people that chose not to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So no one else is being endangered except the people that so choose to accept that danger.
Yep.
It's
And you have to remember,
horrible.
Too, once upon a time, we didn't bathe our children in antibacterial soap, and they were a lot healthier than they are now.
Yeah.
I can tell you firsthand, my son sometimes decides that eating dirt is absolutely delicious, and it grosses me out so bad I can't even... Ugh, it's disgusting. But that kid is rarely sick. I can only think of two or three times in the last 2.5 years he's actually been sick for more than 24 hours. Now, you look at other kids his age who are being bathed in antibacterial soap, and they have every vaccine known to man, and the second that they start getting a cough, you give them medicine and all this other crap, and they're sick all of the time.
Yeah, and they're hitting
look
kids.
Look at the statistics, people.
They're hitting kids like as young as 3 days old with hepatitis B.
No. Now it's you can't leave the hospital in certain areas. And they let you go home the next day.
Yeah, stop me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's it. And I think a lot for some older people, there's a kind of a misunderstanding too, because they think of, well, I got my six vaccines, you know, for polio
and things
like that. Nowadays, we're talking by the time that they're a freshman in high school, 78,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think 78 different inoculation shots and vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them that are based off of the fetal tissue of aborted fetuses.
Yep. Which also goes into high fructose modified cornstarch. Just so you guys know, look at your labels and see how many.
Yeah, we're talking vaccines that are using aluminum as a delivery medium.
And mercury.
Yeah, and and you're mandating that you have to shoot your children full of this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're not making the argument about vaccinate, don't vaccinate.
It's completely up to you guys.
Yeah.
I you know, I have a hard enough time raising my kid. I'm not going to tell you how to raise yours. Okay, yeah. I'm just going to focus on mine.
And I'll tell you right now, I've chosen the middle road with my children.
Yeah.
Is I actually take the time to personally research each vaccine and go, okay, they can have that.
Yeah.
No, they can't. And be careful when you go to the doctor's office, because the nurse just has a tendency to whip out a needle and go to stick your kid. And you're going, whoa, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting there. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know, again, there's that misunderstanding of employee-employer relationship.
Yeah.
Doctors, lawyers, and politicians, we seem to get weird on it. I don't understand why.
Well, they went to school for a really long time, so they're infinitely smarter than we are, and we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, but for all you know, they graduated with a D.
Or they didn't get the degree at all, like that one
they,
guy.
Yeah, they just bought it from a...
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Yeah.
And on other things, oh, no, you didn't.
You didn't. This isn't an oh, no, you didn't.
Again, is... They are attempting to remove grand jury oversight in officer-involved
yes.
cases. Okay, we have an officer-involved shooting where someone dies. That officer is going to be charged with a capital crime,
mm-hmm.
and now it is incumbent upon a DA that is open to political pressure, civil yeah. pressure, media pressure, an agenda. And think about it, that sword
well,
cuts...
Well, isn't it the DA who puts it together for the civil jury to decide? Isn't that how it's supposed
well,
to go?
Well, the grand jury is supposed to investigate and subpoena and look at it and make a decision. And mm-hmm. this is actually in the Constitution, in the Fifth
yeah,
Amendment, that no person shall be held accountable for a capital crime unless by indictment of a grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have this law that's unconstitutional that California wants to push through. Weird. You know, and it's a double-edged sword.
Do you think they have a copy of the Constitution? Do you think they can find it?
I don't know. I think maybe it's on rolls of toilet paper down in Sacramento.
Oh. You know, I think you might be right.
Maybe. Maybe that's why their toilet paper is so expensive. They're getting custom-printed copies of the Constitution
oh
on it.
Oh, my goodness.
No. But you've got the DA now who is susceptible, and it works both ways. If there's a political agenda to persecute police officers,
they'll persecute
police officers. If there's a political agenda and an unhealthy relationship between that police department and the DA,
then
they'll protect
they'll
bad cops.
Shot. Yeah,
it's bad idea.
Yeah,
you know, and
that's the thing too. Is one of the reasons why this bill is starting to go through is because we see things like, wasn't it the Michael Brown case where they didn't indict?
Yeah. And they didn't indict
because
the guy
there
was,
wasn't enough evidence to actually indict him for a crime.
Yeah, the cop wasn't wrong.
And that's where, with especially going back to Reynolds v. Sims, mob rule. The French Revolution legalized murder, people.
Mm-hmm.
They legalized murder. So if we go to mob rule, like in Baltimore, where they were screaming for justice, bring them out so we can, I don't know, hang them, whatever.
Yeah.
That's not justice. Justice is the grand jury.
It
justice
is
blind. Justice has the measuring scales.
Yeah.
That is justice. Justice is not, I'm fired up and really pissed off. That's not justice.
And what do you call that? Is that known as democracy?
You know, I think that might be right.
Yeah.
But we live in a democracy, don't we?
No. No. Well,
oh,
yes.
Oh, but that's what everybody
yes,
says.
Yes, I'm sorry. We do live
we
in a democracy
do.
In California.
Which is why we have the problems that we have.
But we're not supposed to.
We're supposed to be a republic. We are the Republic of
mm-hmm.
California.
We're supposed to be a constitutional republic with equal representation.
But we don't have a republic, and I can't find our constitution.
No.
Well, I can. Our elected officials can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't find the federal constitution or the California constitution.
Well, the federal one is so small, I can see them misplacing it. You know, when you set it next to the tax code, it could totally get lost on page, like, 35,861.
Yeah.
Section A, subsection 12.
Yeah, it literally could. And, you know, again, we're overlooking at the new batch of laws that went before the state Senate.
Well,
and
before you go, uh-huh. take a deep breath, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay? Cruz, Fraba.
Yeah,
continue.
Guess how many new laws. It's May.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's May.
We're entering the second quarter of the year. Guess how many new laws are sitting pending already in Sacramento?
Remember Cruz, Fraba.
Yeah, let's see. They passed 900 new laws last year.
Yeah, that went into effect, right?
Yes, that went into effect.
Yeah.
Currently, between the Senate and the Assembly, there are 2,300 new laws, and we're only in May, that are sitting pending.
I'm just glad that the more laws we pass, the safer our streets are, and the more that people follow the law.
Well, the more free that we Californians
become,
freer.
Right? Yeah, we're freer.
Yeah.
And you know, there, what would we do without all those laws? I mean, it would just be anarchy. I mean, could you imagine going back to like when the founding fathers were around and people were just running around killing everybody because there wasn't actual laws against murder?
I don't think it happened that way.
Oh, well, so. Maybe I should go read a textbook again. Yeah. One of those new Common Core ones.
One not written by Howard Zinn.
Or the Pearson Foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. Or sponsored by Saudi Arabia.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So. And buried in those 2,300 laws are things like they're trying to change the definition of hearsay.
Which every one of you should have just shuddered.
Yeah.
Shudder at that one.
When they redefine hearsay, somebody can say, well, I heard so-and-so say that so-and-so said this, so I think he's guilty of a crime.
Yeah.
So.
And that there's a fundamental reason why hearsay is exactly what it is.
Yeah. General warrants.
Yes.
They're.
So, all right. We do have a caller, so let's run on off to that real quick. Good morning, Jan. How are you today?
Hi, Kayla and Red.
Hey, Jan.
I just had a quick positive comment.
We like
were
this.
Out in yes. French Gulch yesterday for, I think they call it Old West Days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys were.
And I would say most folks from French Gulch like the state of Jefferson. If not awesome. Outright, love it. They are definitely in favor of Jefferson. There's a little parade, and one of the guys in the parade had a Jefferson flag on his Jeep.
Nice.
And I found out later another group that walked with a California flag and an American flag would have gladly swapped their California flag for a Jefferson flag had they known we were there.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was fun. Yeah, a lot of positive. It's fun. You get negative sometimes, and it's really fun to have a positive event.
It is.
Did you guys get a lot of signatures out there?
We did for the number of people that were there. Yeah. Yes, we did. We did really well, and it's just so positive. No real, you know, a few shake their heads, no, a few don't bother me, but mostly it was, yeah, give me that. I want to sign it.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Well, that makes it, I don't know, it's just positive.
Well, that's always been one of my favorite things about Jefferson is when you go out and you meet the people and you talk to the people and you explain what Jefferson can do and you see hope again.
Yeah.
And that's one of the best feelings to me is when you do get it through and you see the light bulb go off and people go, oh, wow, we could be free again.
Yeah, we can have a government that responds to our needs.
Yeah. And that is one of the fun things about it.
One more comment, Red. The Clampers were there. They are alive and well in French Gulch. They had an old purple fire truck that I posted a couple pictures on Facebook.
That would be Jezebel.
That was Jezebel?
That would be Jezebel, I believe.
Oh, so you're familiar with the purple fire truck.
Actually, most Clamper chapters have their own antique fire truck for parades and things
really?
Like that.
And,
cool. There's a lot more of us out there than you think.
It's a pretty cool group.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun.
All right, thank you guys for your show.
Thanks for calling, Jen.
I really enjoy listening to it.
All right, thanks, Jen.
Bye.
You know, and Jan does bring up a good point in, you know, looking at all of the things that California does, it does, sometimes you lose sight of the positive.
Yeah.
And, you know, to remember that Jefferson is the positive side of that. And the things that we're talking about that are bad, these are all things that can be fixed.
Yeah, they're all
the
things
that Jefferson.
You would actually be able to have a say in. Like someone in our chat room, when we were talking about, you know, you contact your assemblyman to tell them no on this vaccine, she goes, our one assemblyman?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, the one assemblyman that we have. But that doesn't mean you can't call everybody else, too.
Yeah.
You know? So Jefferson's the answer.
It is.
It's the only answer.
It's the
if
only
we don't
answer
get
anymore.
It, then this is going to continue coming down the pike, and we're not going to be able to change it.
Well, again, as was always said, we're not asking permission. We're providing California the courtesy of
the civilest of disobedience.
Of informing them of our departure.
We're informing them of our departure.
Yeah, yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, but. You know, and it does. It just, you know, my question is how much longer, you know, even the people that don't support Jefferson, and that's fine. You know, that's your right to do so. Yeah. But how can you sit back and responsibly support what California does?
Yeah.
And if you don't support Jefferson, at what point do you attempt to do something about what California is doing?
And that's the thing I find very interesting is, you know, because I run around in my Stay Jefferson sweatshirt and stuff. I mean, I don't take it to work or anything like that, so I don't know what they think. But I don't ever get anybody that comes up to me and goes, that is a terrible idea. I have never had anybody do that at the mall, at a restaurant, getting gas. I was getting gas the other day, and this old man standing on the other side, and he's, yeah, and he's got thumbs up out of his truck. And I'm just like, please don't wreck. Please don't wreck. It's just a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
You know, just drive safely, gentlemen. You know, people are just enthusiastic about it everywhere you go. So.
Well, I think we better slip off to our next break here.
We do need to. Again, if you have any questions or comments about anything that we've talked to or anything we may have forgotten, do you know something that's going on in California that we need to know about or anywhere around the nation, around the world? Call in. Let us know, 605-4567, or hang out in our chat room, which is always hopping, at kcnr1460.com.
Thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
Howdy folks, Nate Abarea here. Join me every Sunday at 2 p.m. for Destination North State. Each hour-long show will be direct from special spots in the heart of Northern California, featuring the people and the places that make this region so unique. You'll hear the beautiful and the gritty sides of the North State that we call our own. Made possible by Muse Concrete, Palomar Builders, and Yaks on the Five in Dunsmuir. It's Destination North State, every Sunday at 2 p.m., right here on KCNR 1460.
Do you love brain teasers, interactive puzzles, and mind-bending challenges? Then you won't want to miss Turtle Bay's summer exhibition, Mindbender Mansion. Starting May 23rd, test your brain power by solving puzzles to reveal hidden clues and passwords in order to become a member of the Mindbender Society. Mindbender Mansion was created by the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry and is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Back to the Jefferson State of Mind.
Yeah. I think the phone...
Is there...
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I was letting our engineer know that his blinker fell down.
Oh. Technical difficulties is mine.
So...
The new James Bond movie's coming out...
Is it?
This year or next year, isn't it?
Yeah, I still gotta go see the new Avengers. The Age
Which
of Ultron.
Oh, that's not out right now. Is it out?
Yeah, it's been out.
Snap!
Yeah,
I need to go see
it.
That.
So
I need to go see that.
So
there's no strings on me. Oh my goodness, that's like amazing.
Yeah, like when do we have time?
Okay, you want to know the sad part? I hate superheroes. I've always hated superheroes. I don't like reading about them. I don't like watching them.
Wow.
But the new Avengers and like Captain America movies, mm-hmm. I'm sucked to it.
Yeah, I've been like a comic book nerd for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So
that was sidetracked. Sorry.
Yeah.
I heard Skyfall and I went, yeah, the James Bond movie's coming out soon. So.
All right,
we do have another caller.
Yeah, we got Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
Bob.
Yeah, it is interesting, you know. That Bob guy, he's the character. But anyway, on the Jefferson stuff that we've been going out and doing all this stuff for, which I really feel is great. In all the years now we've been doing it and doing different things and getting involved and whatever, what I have found with most people in California that are against it,
mm-hmm.
they're so worried they're going to lose their union jobs. That California supports them so well by not having to work, that they're going to lose this with the state of Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to get some information out on that and explain to them that that's not really the case. It is in a way, but not totally. And that Jefferson will actually be better for them.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bob. And that's one that a lot of people, we got it a lot in Del Norte because there was a lot of, half the population's working for the government, the other half is living off the government up there.
Yep.
Just because their economy's been so decimated by California policies. And we're seeing it in several other counties, too, where a lot of people go, oh, but if I change states, I'm not going to collect my CalPERS retirement. So you're telling me you can't move to Arizona and still collect your retirement? Come
on,
guys.
That's what I tried to explain to them when they sign up. And and another thing is, they say, well, okay, who's going to do your roads? You're going to get rid of Caltrans.
Thank
because
God.
You're not in California.
Yeah.
And I said, well, wait a minute. How much does Caltrans really do in our north state?
Well,
I said, you see vehicles out there. Every boss drives either a big truck or a car or a pickup or something, and they're out there.
Yeah.
But J.F. Shea does the work. Tullis does the work. There's many others that come and do the work. But Caltrans here, all they do, they're an overseer.
Mm-hmm.
So we pay Caltrans the big dollars to do the work. Then it comes down, they take their share, then they give the rest to J.F. Shea or somebody else,
hey,
another
Bob?
Company,
yeah,
to do the work.
Hey, Bob.
So why don't we just give
Bob?
Yeah.
Hey, we got Mark Baird on the line.
Oh, hey, all right. Good luck, man.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. Thank you for the call in. And that,
you bet.
That is a good point. You know, education is good. Mm-hmm. And take the time to have a conversation with us, and we can explain to you why your CalPERS is probably safer in the state of Jefferson than California. Yeah. And let's go to Mark. How's it going, Mark?
Pretty good. How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, doing good. How are you?
Good. Beautiful day today.
Awesome.
Hey, the reason I called in is, I wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, I was just on the Fix It California thing, and of course, the state of Jefferson is far and away ahead of the rest of the pack. But one of the things that I find common in the thread of the comments and common in the thread of some of your callers today is the single issue. And quite frankly, the single issue has to take a backseat to representation. I was playing around with a map the other day, and I discovered with the representative map of California that if you draw an east-west line at the northern boundary of the Angeles National Forest, which is just north of Los Angeles, more than 50% of the representation in California is below that line.
Yes,
so quite frankly, we must restore liberty, we must restore representation, or none of the rest of those things are going to matter anyway. There was a comment on the Fix It Cal website today that a fellow said, well, you know, the people in Southern California are never going to give up the water, or the people in Southern California are never going to give up this. They're never going to let you do it because of that issue or element or resource or legal dictate. But that's exactly why we're doing this, isn't it? Because the people of approximately a quarter of the geography of this state are never going to allow three-quarters of the state to have representation and liberty as long as their palm is being greased and as long as things are going their way and as long as their agenda is being fulfilled. Gosh, does that sound like tyranny to anybody besides me?
Excellent point, Mark. Excellent.
Yeah, I would say that hits it right on the head, doesn't it?
So why is Northern California poverty stricken? Why is why are we called the welfare counties? I think that gal from Keep It California, I forget her name, I think it's Cindy something, Elsmore, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
She made a statement in a public meeting, and I was a little surprised that the room didn't erupt in boos, but she said, well, you know, here's how the state works. Southern California and some of the bigger cities do all the real work. That's not exactly what she said. I'm paraphrasing, but they do all the real work, and they generate the cash that makes California the greatest state in the nation. And our job is to take care of the resources that the rest of California needs and to maintain this beautiful place so that they have a place to come and recreate. And I thought to myself, goodness gracious,
wow,
that makes it sound like the master is doing all the work out of town here, and when he comes back, he gives us a little food and a little welfare money, and we keep up the garden and we take care of the ground so that he can enjoy the house that we all built and at the expense of the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, goodness, don't people listen when they talk? Don't people hear that this is the absolute antithesis of the intent of the framers of our Constitution, in that one-third of the state is allowed to subjugate two-thirds of the state because they can, because they want stuff, and because they have the political weight under Reynolds versus Sims to get it. That's exactly why we need Jefferson. They make their case for us better than we could make it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And everything that they say and they do, they just provide validation for everything that we're saying.
Yeah, our problem is, Red, I think our problem is, I'm glad the Board of Supervisors in Shasta County decided to ignore the people. I'm actually glad of that because it gives us a tremendous opportunity. And that opportunity is being made real by all of the great people in Shasta County who want liberty, because they're going out and they're going to get enough signatures if people will get off the couch and just take 2 seconds to sign an electronic signature statement online with SOJ 51 or find a paper signature to give to one of the committee members. And we're going to have a declaration of and by the people of Shasta County, and we're going to do it without your board.
Yeah.
And that is well on its way to accomplishment. I mean, there's some fantastic people here that have been bringing that to reality, yeah. And they have made massive headway in doing that. And
I know your committee had a goal of like 1,000 signatures a week, and they're hitting that goal. Yes. I don't know. I think that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and we still haven't pulled out all the needed tools because have been able to hit that. There's other things that we can do kind of on a crash program to put us over the top as well.
Yeah, so. I just, you know, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the power of the people, and that's what we're trying to mobilize here. We would like people of moral character to get off the couch and help do something to restore constitutional liberty in our state, the state of Jefferson. And I think it's... gosh, it could change the entire country if we succeed, and I think we can succeed.
Yeah, well,
you look at some of the things that are coming up in other states that are preparing to challenge Reynolds versus Sims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the court case out of Texas, and you know the one that we were referencing earlier out of West Virginia, where they actually challenged the districting, and the Supreme Court said you can actually district non-proportionate in population if it's done in the best judgment of the state for economic or cultural reasons or all kinds different leeway that they gave.
That's an echo of Brown versus Thompson, where the state says as long as it advances a legitimate state interest and it's not done prejudicially, the federal government has no place in state politics. The court has no place in state politics. What Earl Warren did was he invented a process, he claimed it was constitutional, and in that claim he declared the United States' very own model of government in Article 1, Section 8 to be unconstitutional for the very states that helped create the Constitution. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. Yeah. That opinion has stood as long as it has.
And I think what we're seeing now, especially in Jefferson, is the rise of the American people. For a long time, we've delegated to our government, oh, you know how to do it, so take care of us, take care of this, take care of that. And I think that what we're seeing is the backlash of that is we can take care of ourselves. You work for us. So this has gone on too long. So I think as we go forward, we'll see more of that.
I totally agree with you, except I would change one word. I wouldn't say we delegated that because we got comfortable and lazy, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I would say we abdicated.
We abdicated responsibility
because we have only one window through which we can look to measure the performance, the constitutional performance of government, and that's involvement. And we have abdicated our responsibility to make sure that government operates in a constitutional way. And guess what? We got what we paid for.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely true. And what does it look like if we continue in that model? If, say, we, you know, everybody decides the state of Jefferson's a bad idea and goes home tomorrow, and we do keep it California, what does that look like a year from now? What does that look like 5 years from now?
Yeah.
Brad, because I think you can tell exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
And you can't tell by looking at the future. You can tell by looking at the past at any one of the dozen places. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said in the Gulag Archipelago, and he was a communist. He helped with the revolution. He said, we lost our freedom and we didn't even know it. Look at Mao's China. Look at Stalin's Russia. Look at Hitler's Germany. You can look in 100 places. You can look in 20 countries in Africa today to see what it will look like when we lose our liberty.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if we allow this to continue, that's exactly what's going to happen to us.
And I think that's why Jeffersonians especially are so zealous about this cause, is because we see the history and we see what has happened and we see where we're going. And we don't want our children subjugated to that. And it's true subjugation.
Yes, and you know, you look at one other thing. People want to talk about the water, they want to talk about the trees, the owls, the fish, they want to talk about CalPERS and what's going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to say, those are distractions. Those things are going to happen to you anyway if we do nothing.
Yeah.
What we want to do is restore constitutional republic, restore liberty, those things will take care of themselves in a constitutional republic. Mm-hmm. Those are just distractions to the real issue, which is liberty.
Especially if the economy collapses, if you're worried about your CalPERS, do you think you're going to get your CalPERS in a depression-style economy? No,
that's right.
So let's fix it so you can.
You're not going to worry about the trees when they all burn down because you're trying to protect an owl. You're not going to worry about the water when the governor won't spend any money on water anyway.
Yeah. Well, for me, the most vital thing is the securement of liberty for my posterity. I am very much less concerned about myself and what I get out of the state of Jefferson than what my children and grandchildren will get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's very important that you say that, Red. It really is, because that is your job as a father. That is our job as citizens. You know, I'm an older fellow. This deal isn't going to change so much that I wouldn't recognize it by the time I pass away, but my job is to pass it along in somewhat the same condition that I received it from my father, and that was liberty. Mm-hmm. So it is my job to secure liberty for my posterity, and that's the most important thing we can do.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, that's what's vital, is because I think the people of my age and around my generation, is we're going to have to do a lot of repairs and remodeling to get back to where we are. And my goal is not to fix it for me. My goal is to have it fixed for my children and hand them something they don't need to repair, but something that they can improve and make better.
Yeah. You don't want to tear it all down just to rebuild it.
Amen. So. Thank you very much for the work you're doing. It's I was just listening and I had to pipe in. Sorry.
Well, thanks, Mark.
We always appreciate the phone call.
So. Okay, have a good day, and I'll talk to you later.
Enjoy.
Bye. And we appreciate all the phone calls.
Absolutely.
Your guys, all of your insight is so important to what happens in this show, what happens in Jefferson. If you listen every week and you go, man, you know, I thought about this, but you never tell us, we can't think about it. We can't discuss it. And I found that a lot of, like, when we go to the town halls and whatnot, a lot of the great ideas of Jefferson don't come from Robert or me. They come from all of you. That's where these ideas come from. And this is your state.
That's what makes this nation great, is when you unleash the American people to pursue their dreams.
The innovative
and their
thought.
Ideas. It's, you can't be beaten. And to me, why I believe Jefferson will win is because we have the most powerful weapon in the box. We have the weapon that cannot be overcome, and that's hope.
Yeah.
We have hope.
We're very resilient on our hope, actually. In the worst of times, Americans stand. You knock us down 10 times, we'll get right back up again just to make you mad.
And I think that's one of the fundamental differences between a Jefferson supporter and an anti-Jefferson person. Is the anti-Jefferson person is afraid. They're afraid of what if this? What if we can't do that? What if we can't do this? What if this happens? Whereas the Jefferson person has hope, and they're supportive, and they go,
we can get through
it. I bet we can do this. I think we can do this. What if we do that? Mm-hmm. And they come to the realization that even if it doesn't work, then we move on and we do something else.
Yeah.
We don't sit stagnant and wring our hands and go, oh, well, what if this happens? And, you know, there is a fundamental difference.
Yeah.
And
America wasn't built in a day. America wasn't built because England decided, you know what? We really don't want you guys. No, we fought tooth and nail for 250 years to be where we are. You have to be willing to fight for the next 250 years to get back to where we were.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to fight, and it's not easy. It's exhausting. It's right, Robert? Are you exhausted sometimes? Do you go home and just, like, face plant on your couch?
Sometimes. And then get up and know that you've got another week or two or three in front of you. And, you know,
and then you meet that one person who says just the right thing, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm changing lives.
Yeah.
I'm helping people. And then they help us. And it's a wonderful experience to really get involved in this movement, to really get involved in your government, and to just have that positive outlook of, we can. Yes, we can. Let's steal the mantra.
Yeah. There's days of drudgery, but
oh, yeah.
It all becomes worth it.
It does.
You know, and
you watch that light bulb go off mm-hmm. with somebody and you see the hope in their eyes. I mean, you can physically watch the hope come back into somebody's eyes and you go, okay, there's another one.
And what a legacy to pass on to your kids.
Yeah.
You know, that you work to build this for them. And so I guess we're out of time. So we're going to have to leave you with those thoughts of, you know, it's not going to be easy at all. You know, once we even get the state, it's not going to be easy. But you got to work for it because that's the American way.
Yeah.
You know, and so remember that as we go through this week, as you go to your memorial services, you know, remember those who came before us and those who are coming after.
Yep. And even if you work for it, there's no guarantee you get it.
Nope.
That's
but this
just
is
life.
The Jefferson state of mind. And it's time to make it yours, Jeffersonians.
See you next week. Enjoy and go out Monday. Pick a memorial and go.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Iraqi forces do not have the will to fight, so says Defense Secretary Ash Carter, following the fall of Ramadi to ISIS a week ago. Carter tells CNN's State of the Union program today that Iraqi forces outnumber their opposition in the city, but retreated instead of fighting. They left behind large numbers of high-quality U.S. supplies and vehicles, several tanks. Those all belong to ISIS now. Police made arrests in Cleveland last night as protesters took to the streets after a judge ruled a police officer is not guilty in the deaths of two unarmed black suspects.
Judge John O'Connell said he could not find that Officer Michael Brillo fired the fatal shots during a 137-shot barrage of gunfire following a high-speed chase in 2012. The unarmed male and female suspects had just led cops in a 20-plus mile chase at triple-digit speed for an hour when Brillo managed to get on the hood of the car and shoot through the windshield. Cleveland Police Chief Calvin Williams